He strikes a deal with... It's one of them. Listen, I've read a lot of Genesis here recently, and he tells his uncle Laban, he says, listen, I need to go back to my land, the land that God had promised to my father Abraham and my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac. And so he says, listen, I tell you what, I'll strike you a deal. He says, all the sheep that are born with stripes, they're mine, and all the sheep that are born solid colors, they'll be yours. And he comes up with this idea that is modern technology. He takes these sticks and he strips the bark in stripes and he puts it in the middle of the flock and he says, you know what? He says, that right there is modern technology. And those sticks with stripes on them, he said, all of these sheep are going to have babies with stripes on them. And you know what? They did. Now, who gave Jacob the striped lambs? The stick? Come on. Who gave Jacob those striped lambs? The Lord gave Jacob those striped lambs. And so at the end of the season, Jacob is a very wealthy man. And what happens is he ends up taking the wealth of his uncle Laban. And he ends up with the wealth that his uncle had begun with. And Jacob is a very wealthy man. And he takes his two wives and his 12 sons and his one daughter. And he heads back to the promised land. A very wealthy man. And he even gives credit to the Lord. I want you to look back in chapter 32, verse 10. He says, I'm unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant, for with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies, speaking of his family and his wealth. And listen, here's what has happened. The Lord, not because Jacob is a perfect individual, but God chose Jacob. Because he loved Jacob and he planned to use Jacob. And God guided Jacob. And God directed Jacob. And God protected Jacob. And God provided for Jacob. And you know what? Sometimes we focus so much on God as our Father and the way He directs and leads and guides and protects and provides that we forget that one of God's main roles in our lives as Father is that while He does all of that, He also shapes. He also molds our character. He also disciplines and He teaches and He conforms. And He refines. And one of the things that we're getting ready to watch, probably the most dramatic scene in Jacob's life, is this scene where, sure, God has guided and directed and protected and provided richly for Jacob, but now we get to watch God refine and shape this man's character. And we can't forget one of the most significant roles that God plays in our life as our Father is that He shapes us and He molds our heart and He forms our character. He doesn't let us stay who we are. He changes us. Now, we know Jacob was the father of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And this is the role that God plays in His people's lives. And so we're intended, we know from 1 Corinthians, we know from 1 Timothy, we know from several places in the Old Testament, we know, listen, these things in the Old Testament, they were written for our instruction. And so we get to watch God's hand in this man's life. Why? So that we can be instructed in the way that God will work in our lives. We get to watch God work in Jacob's life so that we will recognize what God is doing in my life and be able to respond appropriately. Here's the scene. Jacob is a very wealthy man, has left his uncle Laban's house, and he has come to the Jabbok River right on the very edge. He is about to cross into Canaan, the land that God had promised to his people. And he gets there, and he wants to make sure that all of his family and all of his wealth that gets across the river, and as a good leader, he is the last one to cross. So in verse 32, it says that he arose that same night. He took his two wives, his two handmaids, his 11 children, crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, sent them across the stream, and he sent across everything that he had. And he alone was left on the far side of the river. And it says, interestingly enough, that while he was there, he says that a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Jacob is all by himself, and he's jumped. And Jacob, now listen, Jacob had been working in the fields for his uncle Laban for the last 14 years. Jacob is no puny dude. Jacob is a stout man. Now you think about a wrestling match all night long until daybreak. Even the stoutest of men would have a hard time wrestling for your life all night long. But Jacob does. Jacob wrestles. Verse 25 tells us how this wrestling match ended. When this man who, let me just fill you in on the end of the story here that you already know, this is the Lord who's wrestling with Jacob. When this man who is the Lord saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so that the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Now that's a very interesting fact right there. Let me point out something to you. It says that the man saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob. Now how is it that a man, first of all, how is it that the Lord does not prevail against an individual that he's wrestling with? And then how is it that this man, when he sees that he had not prevailed against Jacob, when he recognizes that this fight has not ended yet, in an instant, he throws a crippling blow and Jacob is broken and crippled and the fight is over? How is it that this man who wrestles with him all night long can, when he decides, throw the crippling blow in just an instant and end the fight and cripples Jacob? Here is what is happening. When this verse says that the angel of the Lord, that this man who wrestled with Jacob, when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he is not talking about that he could not beat. He is not saying that the Lord could not defeat Jacob. Because we know, in just an instant, he threw the crippling blow and it was all over with. Jacob was crippled, laying on the ground, couldn't get up. And so he is not describing defeating Jacob. But here's what's happening. He is saying that he wrestled all night long and Jacob would not give up. The Lord wrestled with this man and Jacob refused to submit. Jacob refused to tap out. If you are the parent of a two-year-old, you most likely know what was happening here. All right, buddy, I got some awesome broccoli for you right here. Mm-mm. No, come on, it's going to be really good. See, I got a little cheese on the top. Mm-mm. Meow. You know, yeah. Mm-mm. And that goes on for 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes, and then 15 minutes, and then maybe 20 minutes. And you know what happens? What you have here is you realize after 20 minutes that you have not prevailed against your child to eat this broccoli. That's what's happening. The angel of the Lord comes and he wrestles with Jacob all night long. Jacob is not going to give up. Jacob is not going to submit. And so when the Lord realizes, hey, this guy's not giving up, this guy's not going to submit, the Lord realizes, I'm going to have to break him. And so in an instant, the sinew in Jacob's thigh breaks and it snaps and Jacob is crippled. And that's the end of the fight. Jacob can no longer fight. He is no longer able to fight. That's a key word there. I use that word very carefully. That what has happened is that Jacob, who is a very capable man, the Lord renders him in an instant incapable. And then watch what happens. Verse 25, when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Verse 26, then he said, this is the angel of the Lord. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. The angel of the Lord says to Jacob, hey man, it's all over with, let me go. But Jacob is there, Jacob is holding on to the man's ankle, got both hands hanging on to his ankle, you know, like my children do when we wrestle. And Jacob's got that guy's ankle wrapped up, and Jacob is not letting him go, even though the Lord says, Jacob, it's all over with, turn me loose. Now watch what happens. Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now I want you to notice that right there, when Jacob's thigh cracked and Jacob was broken and the fight was ended, a significant change happened in Jacob, right here. Jacob goes from wrestling with the man to now clinging to the Lord. Now, it kind of seems a little bit forward of Jacob to say, oh, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Now, does Jacob know who this is? At this point, sure he does, because he asked him for a blessing. Seems maybe a little bit forward of Jacob to ask for a blessing, but I want you to notice something from the course of Jacob's life. If you were to study Jacob's life, this right here, verse 26, this is the very first time in all of Jacob's life where he ever asked the Lord for anything. You go back and look. This is the very first time that Jacob ever asked the Lord for anything. Now, let me tell you what's happening here. Jacob is a man who has been very successful. Jacob is a man, and in his wealth, and he's got wealth, and on the end of that wealth, after he's gotten it, Jacob is a man who will say, everything I have the Lord gave to me. But he is a man who, though he gives verbal credit to the Lord after he got it, he did not need the Lord when he was getting it. He didn't need the Lord. He didn't ask the Lord for anything. He had it taken care of. He is a man who would give verbal credit to the Lord, but he did not need the Lord. Never went there. It was the sticks. See, Jacob always had a plan. Jacob always had a method. Jacob always had technology. Jacob always had drive. And Jacob always had determination. And it always worked out. He didn't need the Lord. But now, God wrestles with him. And in that wrestling match, you see, and I believe Jacob saw this, but we get to watch that this man and his self-determination and his self-reliance and his stubbornness, it comes out in the fact that he wrestled all night long. And finally, the Lord had to show him his own inability, his own dependence, and the Lord broke him. And now Jacob goes from a self-determined individual to a dependent man who is clinging to the Lord to bless him. Why? Because now he realizes God, you are the source of any blessing that I'm ever going to get now. God, I am broken. And now, God, I have got to seek you for everything that I need. And so Jacob clings to the Lord and says, I am not letting you go till you bless me. Now, I want you to see that what I have just described in terms of change to Jacob's character, going from a self-determined, self-reliant individual to a man who is broken and recognizes his desperate dependence on the Lord, I want you to see that God Himself spells this out to Jacob and to us. Watch what happens. Jacob says in verse 26, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now watch what the Lord says in verse 27. The Lord said to him, what is your name? Jacob said, my name's Jacob. The name Jacob in Hebrew is the word Yaakov. That's how they would have pronounced it in Hebrew. The name Jacob means one who strives. Comes from the root of the word heel. Do you know why it comes from the word heel? Because Jacob came out of his mother's womb holding on to his twin brother's heel. And it means one who strives. The idea is one who strives for the one who is in front of him. That Jacob was born a self-determined, ambitious, self-reliant individual. And so his mama named him Yaakov, one who strives. And so the Lord, when Jacob says, all right, now I'm clinging to you. Now I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Now I realize, listen, you are my only hope. I have got to cling to you, Lord, and you have got to be the one to bless me with everything that I need, or I am sunk. And now the Lord comes back to him, and just to seal the deal in his heart, the Lord says, Jacob, what is your name? And by asking Jacob his name, the Lord is forcing Jacob to admit, my name, yeah, my name is Yaakov. I am the one who strives. But God in His grace, having taught Jacob this lesson, He says, your name shall no longer be Yaakov, Jacob. That's not your name anymore. Your name now is going to be Israel. Yisrael. If you hear a Jewish guy, they would say Yisrael. El, obviously the word, the name of God. Yishra is a Hebrew name for strive or fight. Now, Jacob's name is God fights. God strives. You didn't know that was what the Israel means. That's the word Israel. It means God fights. That in this scene, Jacob goes from being Yaakov, the one who strives for himself, to being Yisrael, the one who God strives for. God fights for me. And watch why. Look at this. This is fascinating. I love this. Verse 28. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. God changes his name because he says you have striven with God and with men and now you have prevailed. Now what does it mean that Jacob prevailed? Did he win the fight? No. Jacob's laying on the ground crippled. What does it mean that he prevailed? Here's what's happening. God looks at Jacob and he says, Jacob, not that you've won the fight, but Jacob, you have learned the lesson. Jacob, finally, you have learned that you need me. Finally, you have gone from being self-reliant and self-determined to recognizing your dependence on me. Now your name is Israel. You're not Jacob anymore. Watch this, verse 29. I love the end of this. Jacob says, well, please tell me your name. And the Lord says, Jacob, come on. You know who my name is. And Jacob says, oh yeah, you're right. And he says, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Jacob knows who this is. Listen, here is this man while he gave God verbal credit for everything that he did, Jacob was not an idolater. Jacob was not a rebellious individual. Jacob did not worship idols. Jacob did not turn away from the Lord. Jacob gave all the credit to the Lord at the end. But Jacob's problem was he didn't need the Lord. He had a plan. He was good. It worked. But God took that man and his self-determination and his self-reliance, and God broke him so that this man was forced to recognize, oh yeah, I do need the Lord. And in fact, I've got to cling to the Lord because He is the one who's going to have to bless me. And I can't do any of this stuff like I thought. I need the Lord. Now, men, what we are watching is what God will do in our lives if we do not recognize up front how desperately we need the Lord. Let me tell you how you will notice, how you will identify this in your own life. This is the way that it shows up. If you are like Jacob and you have lots of plans and lots of ideas and lots of determination and everything that you have done has turned out well, and I mean you are good at what you do, and in the end, after it turns out all right, you say, oh yeah, God, man, thanks God for the help. But you didn't really need God when you were going through it or on the front end. You didn't seek the Lord at all. You didn't ask the Lord for help. You certainly didn't think that maybe God needed to instruct you how to do this thing. Dads, listen to me. We are involved. If you are a father right now and you have children still in your home, really it doesn't matter if you have children in your home or not. If you're a father, then you are engaged in one of the most important efforts that any man could be entrusted with. And maybe on the end of it, we'll say, oh God, he did it all. But right now, as we're going through it on the day-to-day, you know, I'm okay. I mean, I'll pray if I run up on something. I don't know that, you know, if I come up on something that's kind of too challenging for me, then I'll ask the Lord. No! Now you need Him now. And what's happening here is that the Lord is showing Jacob, the Lord is giving Jacob a felt need. The Lord is breaking him to show him, you do need me. Men, listen. Recognize your brokenness now. Recognize your absolute desperate dependence on the Lord and your need to cling to the Lord now. Or if you are really His, He will break you. And He will prove to you that you need Him. And that will be the best thing that could ever happen to you. If you have plans and you have dreams and you have goals and you are determined and you recognize in your life that your relationship with the Lord is really not very high on the priority list. When's the last time you really sat down to focus? All right, Lord, God, here's what I need. And God, you're going to have to give it to me. When's the last time you sat down and you said, okay, Lord, I don't want to do it my way. You teach me. You teach me right here. Teach me this morning, Lord, because Because if you don't teach me, God, I'm going to blow this thing up. You know, let's be very, very candid with you here. I'm going to close here in just a minute. But let me just tell you, in my life, and you just need to know this about your pastor. I know that I don't even have to fall into sin. That would obviously be terrible. But you know what? If I know this about myself, if I get too busy and I just neglect the Lord, and I just get too busy that I stop being taught and I stop going to Him. Listen, it wouldn't take very long. And everything that is valuable to me would fall like sand through my fingers. And I wouldn't even have to fall into sin for that to happen. All it would take, Jacob wasn't an idolater. Jacob just neglected the Lord. He just didn't need the Lord. And his life reflected that. And I know, and listen, you need to know this about Chad Brady, that it wouldn't take long, that if I got too busy and I just neglected the Lord and I allowed distance to be in between me and the Lord and I stopped constantly abiding, Steve, then you know what would happen? The old Chad Brady would start coming out. Oh. And I've told you this before, you would not like the natural Chad Brady. I'm telling you would not like the natural Chad Brady. And my marriage and my children and my relationship with our church, look, it would fall apart. Why? Because Chad Brady is a broken individual. And if I don't cling to the Lord, man, I got nothing. And that's not just true of Chad Brady, and that's not just true of Jacob. That's true of every single one of us, men. And God is showing us here so that we will see Jacob's felt need. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know what, I'm doing pretty good. I'm all right now. No, you're not. No, you're not. And maybe it is that God is giving you some grace so that you will come to this conclusion that you need Him without having to be broken physically or otherwise. But maybe it is that you're a man right now and you have to recognize, hey, wait a minute, I think God's doing this in my life now. And that would look like, hey, listen, maybe there are some things that you just cannot get over. No matter how hard you're trying, it's not working. Maybe it is that you just, man, everything seems like it is working against you and tearing you down. And maybe it is that your thought has been in the past, well, this is the enemy. Get behind me, Satan. And maybe it's not Satan. Maybe it's the Lord. Maybe it's the Lord who is putting you in the position of brokenness so that you will recognize your need for the Lord. And guys, if that's what's happening, I mean, you're hitting your head on a brick wall every day. And you know it. You know what that feels like. And you need to stop right now and you need to recognize, wait a minute, maybe, probably, this is the Lord. And He is showing me my own brokenness, my own dependence. And I need to stop. And I need to start clinging to the Lord. I have neglected the Lord in the past, but today, from today on, I need to cling, to seek, to abide, to walk with the Lord. And let Him teach and me learn. And let me pray and Him hear. That needs to be my priority above everything else. Now listen, this is the way that the Lord works in His children's lives. But let me tell you what, this is not far from the way that God makes us His children. How is it that we become children of God at all? Is it because we're self-determined, and if I just try hard enough that I can become good enough, and maybe God will look at me because I'm trying to please Him enough, and God will love me, and God will save me, and forgive all of my other sin because I'm trying hard enough. Is that the way that works? No. What do we have to do? We have to recognize, wait a minute, my sin falls short of God's glory. And so I need to stop, and I need to humble myself and recognize that I am desperately dependent on a Savior who died on a cross and rose from the grave. And if it were not for Him, if I do not cling to that cross and to that empty tomb and to the Savior who shed His blood for me, if I do not cling to Him, then I have no hope. That's the gospel. But you know what the sad thing is that we're tempted to take the gospel, and we know nothing I can do earn my own salvation. And then we forget that when it comes to the rest of the Christian life. Hey, to be the man that God wants me to be, I can't earn it. I need to cling to the Lord and seek the Lord. I can't be the dad that God wants me to be unless He empowers me and molds me and shapes me and blesses me. It won't happen. We need Him. Men and ladies, whoever you are, if you're sitting here today and you have never stopped and recognized your own sin and your need for a Savior, then you need to do that today, and you need to bow at the cross and trust that Jesus did for you what you could not do for yourself. But if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, and maybe it is that you, like Jacob, have just neglected the Lord, and He is in His grace allowed things to work out for you, but now you realize, wait a minute, I need Him. Oh, we need Him. And you need to stop today and begin to cling and seek and abide. All these words that Scripture uses, all over Scripture, they all mean the same thing. Dependence. We need Him. Men, we have got to be changed from self-reliant, self-determined men into men who are desperately dependent, but confident as we follow. But desperate dependence where it starts. We need the Lord. Father, I ask You to take what You did in Jacob's life, and even if it means our pain, I pray that You would do this same work in our lives. And Father, if we ever neglect You, I pray that You would reteach us this lesson. Lord, we need You. Every hour we need You. Lord, You know the needs in every one of our hearts. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be free to do what He has come this morning to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you are here and you have never trusted Jesus as